This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 26, Styrobot Favicon.
Everybody, you have found it. This is the Geek Dads, episode 26. Yes, because we are a bi-weekly podcast, in a way, technically, this is our year anniversary. Although looking at the calendar, we're actually still a couple of weeks off from that. But I'd like to count it. Would you guys like to count it?
Yes.
Okay, then we're going to count it. Welcome to our one-year anniversary podcast, everyone. This is Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com, and I am joined by a wonderful group of fellow Geek Dads, and starting at the top of the list tonight, welcome to Mr. Brian Little. How are you this week, Brian?
Oh my God, I'm top of the list. I'm special
you
this
are?
Week.
Oh yeah, baby.
Special with a capital L on my forehead, yes.
I am wet this week, which is astounding. We haven't had rain, serious rain in weeks, and I think thanks to Faye, or the splinters thereof, we're getting dumped on. So I'm happy.
Awesome. Awesome.
My plants are happy. The creeks are happy.
Your reservoirs are happy.
Very.
Very good. So we don't wait for reservoirs to fill. We've got mountains that we want snow into, but they're actually kind of low too. So global climate change. So next around the table, the virtual table, Mr. Matt Blum. How are you this week, Matt?
I'm doing well, Ken. Had a really good weekend. Went to exhibit at the Smithsonian about Jim Henson.
Ooh, so, awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear more about that, right?
Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I'll do my little plug here this weekend. We did get to go to GateCon, which is the big convention. Well, not big convention, actually. It's a fairly small, intimate convention for fans of Stargate. We did a whirlwind weekend up in Vancouver and got to see Richard Dean Anderson extensively and got to sort of hang out and chat. And I've shaken hands with, does everyone remember Corey Nemec?
No.
Parker Lewis can't lose.
Does oh yeah. Remember Corey Nemec?
Well, all the Stargate fans remember him because he did a good year and a half on Stargate. That was very memorable. He had a great character and, so he was at the con. A bunch of the other stars, a couple of the real good bad guys from the show were there, and it was a load of fun. So that was my really, really geeky weekend. So, Mr. Olson, Mr. Dan Olson, how are you doing this week?
Gentlemen, I'm doing well. The mundane tasks of the summer now are coming to an end. Our rental house finally has gotten approved, so
woo-hoo.
I can actually focus on other electronical things than outlets and installing lamps and ceiling fans.
Right, because winter's coming.
And building codes.
Winter's coming, and now you got to get ready for that, and then, you know, it all starts all over again.
Yeah, winter starts in September in Minnesota, I think.
Yeah, wow. Ours starts in never. So, ouch, sorry.
You're really asking for it.
I really
yeah, you are.
Yeah,
that's all right.
You know, the rest of the country where we actually have weather,
mm-hmm.
there are things going on.
And seasons.
Yeah, seasons.
Right. Sorry. All right. Moving on. I'm not going to get in any more trouble for that tonight.
Sure you will.
So we were going to, in the sort of new tradition of the Geek Dad podcast, we want to start with a good rant, and there hasn't been a better really good rant post lately than the one that came out, actually went up yesterday, right, Brian?
Was it yesterday? Yeah, I think so.
Was it yesterday? Yeah, yeah. So Brian, tell us about your post and give us some background and give us a good rant about kids in movie theaters.
Well, okay, the background here, kind of what got me started thinking about it, is my brother and I went to see Dark Knight recently, and we went to what we thought was a fairly...
Whoa, oh my God. Hold on, Brian. I'm so sorry. I've just been slammed by multiple people because I forgot someone. Oh my god.
Yeah, I was.
Well, you know,
there's more people than usual tonight. Oh, you want to know what the problem is? My Skype people list opens to a set length for everyone who's in the call, and so Mr. Russ Neumeyer was hiding and needed to be scrolled down to. Russ.
You know, I'll just leave now. How's that? No.
Oh, I love the fact that Russ said something in the chat room.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If you just want to moderate the chat room, we'll all talk.
You know, no. I'll do that because, you know.
It's the chat room rebellion.
Oh, that's there right. We go. Russ, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. I would love even half of the rain that Brian's getting because my lawn is brown and crunchy right now. So, and rather than spend a whole lot of money paying the sewer and water that would otherwise be spent on, you know, watering my lawn, I'm rebelling and not watering it right now. So I would love half the rain that Brian's getting. Other than that, I'm good. You know, we're a week out of school, and I'm spending half my afternoon after I get out of work in my car driving my kids to their various things or home from their various things. So I was amazed that I even made it here tonight. And, you know, Ken forgetting me, I should have just stayed in the car.
That's it. I'm sorry, Russ.
But otherwise, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, have you ever thought just to invest in a couple of cans of green spray paint for the lawn?
You know, I've thought about it, but, you know.
AstroTurf, dude.
There we go. Yeah, I'm thinking rocks or something. I don't know, but.
Yeah, go for the sort of southwestern, low maintenance look.
Yep.
All right, so I heard something about Brian having a rant. So I don't know. I don't know what that's all about.
Wait a minute. Did you scroll down? Are we clear?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Are you sure?
Who's that? Oh, look, John's down there. No.
Oh yeah. Wait.
Oh, but wait a minute. Z's on. Anyone want to suck Z in?
He's go ahead.
On. Here we go.
We can make fun of his action live.
Yeah.
Instead of behind the scenes.
He's ringing. Let's see if we get him. He probably turned up. Oh, this is what you get for showing up early, Z.
Yeah, I knew. I put a sign out there. I telegraphed it a little too easily.
Your accent's already been made fun of.
Much more genteel than mine.
Your accent has already been made fun of tonight.
Well, good. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
So, Z, you want to join us?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
All right. Just,
dude, I was trying to defend the accent. I really was. They weren't having any of it.
I already forgot to welcome Russ tonight. But so how are you doing this week?
I cannot complain.
Okay. You can't complain. Then we'll move on.
That was the whole point of the podcast.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. We need rants. We need anger. We need...
If you can't complain, then don't talk.
It's not worth it.
If you don't have bile and venom, go sit in the car in the driveway like Russ. Right.
Develop some, and then come back in when you're recognized.
Go moderate the chat room. Whatever. I'm expecting Patrick to show up in the chat room just so we can... We'll tease him, too. All right, so Brian was, before I so rudely interrupted him, Brian was about to get off on his rant. So you went to Dark Knight with your brother.
So we go to see Dark Knight, and it's like 8:15 in the evening, and we're thinking, it should be pretty kid-free. The movie's been out for a couple of weeks and went on. And truthfully, there weren't a lot of kids. What shocked me was seeing a couple walk in. I mean, you know, look about, a little younger than me, so early 30s. Decently dressed, normal people, you know, and they walk in with a 3-year-old in tow. Kid could not have been over 3. 3 may be giving him something. And I was just stunned because I've read enough of the reviews and seen enough clips to know this is not a kid's movie, you know, the superhero theme aside. And so I kind of walked up to the ticket taker, a girl standing there, and I said, was that what I thought it was? And she said, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. She said, we can't do anything about it. Just talking and joking with my brother afterwards, I said, you know, now that we've seen it, I said, you know, the kid's going to have some awful nightmares. And he says, yeah, if he sleeps. And so a day or two later, I came across was it Mark Oakley's post at Den of Geek, talking about the larger aspect of bringing kids into theaters, which is that, you know, they tend to be noisy and unruly, frequently ill-behaved, that kind of thing. So the point of my post was just to ask, you know, given that parents obviously will bring their kids to completely inappropriate movies, and given that, you know, kids are not, apparently in a lot of cases, not being taught how to behave in movie theaters, you know, I just asked, would it be valid to provide kids-free screenings? And I've just been amazed at the response. Like, I mean, I'm looking at it here, 3,000 digs and 129 comments at the Geek Dad site alone.
I think we were pushing 1,000 comments on the dig site.
Yeah, I haven't looked, but a lot of them. I mean, I don't read the dig comments, I'll be honest with you.
Yes,
yeah. That's like wading in a pond muck. But I've been really impressed with a lot of the comments that have been made. You know, it's like, yeah, and the majority of people really seem to agree. I mean, I think there's money out there to be made if more theaters would pick this up, and apparently some already do this. You know, either they serve beer, so it's automatically a 21 and over theater, or they reserve certain screens or certain showings, specifically for kids or to not have children. I suspect there's a business opportunity that's being missed in my town here. It's like, but you know, it beyond all the comments and all that, it makes me really angry. You know, I go out of my way to think about when we take our child somewhere, one of the things in my head is this going to be appropriate for her to go to, not just in terms of can she handle whatever content for what we're going to see, but will her behavior impinge on other people's enjoyment of what's going on? And it irks me that so many people don't think of that.
Yeah.
There's obviously no consideration for anything outside their little nuclear family. And two, you know, yeah. I worry about the kids. I mean, from the minute Heath Ledger pulled the disappearing pencil trick, I knew what we were in for. And I just can't imagine sitting a 3-year-old through that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing in that movie for a kid of that age to enjoy, and a lot to scare the hell out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a situation where, you know, the parents were thinking about themselves, and they hadn't had the chance to get to the movie, and, you know, maybe it would have been tough. Maybe they hadn't been able to get a sitter or something fell through or whatever, but they needed to get out, and they went and did it. I cut them a hair of slack, but not enough.
And there are two responses that I've seen more than once that I want to answer here. I'm not going to answer them in the comments threads because that's inviting trouble. Number one, several people have asked, did the kid who was in the Batman show act up? No, he did not, actually. That wasn't the point. His father actually did have to haul him out a couple of times, which I think was because he got scared, but he wasn't actively loud and disruptive. That was not my point. My point was that he had no business being in that movie because of his age. And the second thing that I've seen several responses say, well, you know, what do you expect when it's a superhero movie? Well, what I expect is for parents to take a look at the reviews before they haul a small child into it, superhero movie or not.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, you go ahead.
Yeah, particularly the way the Batman series has skewed now with the last two movies. I mean, the first one, maybe you could take a young child to because it was clearly pulling off the comic line. But, you know, the last two movies have just really gotten dark. I haven't even seen Dark Knight yet. And but all the reviews and everything I heard from the Geek Dads is like, there's not a chance I'd even want to take my teenager to that right now.
Well, I mean, exactly. These movies have ratings for a reason. It's sort of the same argument as video games. If you buy your 8-year-old Grand Theft Auto, you know, are you sort of waiving your right to complain at that point? I mean, this is obviously adult content.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the comments I saw was absolutely brilliant. Guy said, you know, they should just do away with the under 17 not allowed without an adult, because frankly, if you're carrying a 3-year-old into Dark Knight, you're not an adult.
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to get that argument from the people that well, I mean, in the case of the 3-year-old, the parents may have rightly or wrongly felt, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate here, may have rightly or wrongly felt that, you know, the kid was either going to be too young to get, you know, or they thought he was going to be too young to pay attention to some of the content or whatever. But I mean, you know, it still doesn't sound like that was true. But, you know, it was a very poor choice. Just
I don't.
But it's also a free country. So how do you?
I don't think it's even really just limited to movies, because my mom was ranting the other day about, she works at a cosmetics counter in a retail store.
Yeah.
And she's next to the escalators. And all day long, she watches parents let the kids pretty much do whatever they want. And she'll occasionally say, you know, that's not safe to let your child under 5 sit on the escalator as they go down. The child caught their coat in the escalator, wrecked it, had to hit the emergency stop button. And the parents got mad, and the store had to give them a new coat.
Ugh.
You know, it's not just movies. You know, there's other folks out there going, hey, it's not safe. Don't do it. But then they don't want any control over their kids. So, right. I don't know, there's my rent.
That's, I mean, and yeah.
It's
obviously, in that case, there's a big liability issue, too.
Yep.
You almost want to have you know, the store security standing at the top and the bottom yelling at people when they're idiots.
Yeah, we've had theaters in our area that have gone both ways. We've had theaters that during the day, you know, they're pizza and beer joints that happen to show movies kind of thing. And so during the day, it's soda and pizza and chips and fries and burgers and kid-friendly movies. And at night, it's 21 and older, they show, you know, R-rated movies or, you know, really borderline R-rated but PG-13 rated movies. And they've done okay. You know, they're certainly not the multiplex. They've got 2 or 3 screens, but they're able to cater to both crowds. And I think it works well.
Yeah, we got one in my area too. We actually went to it not this past weekend, but the weekend before, we went to go see the Muppet movie during the day. But at night they serve alcohol and, you know,
well, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In a multiplex, like the one we go to is an AMC, and there are 20 screens. And you're going to tell me that of the 5 screens that are showing Dark Knight, you can't make one of those for 2 shows a night, say, nobody under 17 admitted. And then on top of it, this is the other thing some of the commenters have suggested that I remember from when I was a kid that I think would be good. Please go back to having uniformed ushers with flashlights who will walk in and kick your rear end out of the movie if you misbehave or won't haul your squalling kid out.
I think that depends on the theater, because those do still exist.
It's pretty rare, though, because I mean, the movie theaters operate on such a slim profit margin as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they jack the prices of the concessions so far, because they get so little of the ticket price.
Yeah.
Especially on the big blockbusters like Batman. You know, that, you know, if they added back the ushers, the prices would be even more astronomical.
I'd pay a premium for it. I really would.
Well, that's what I hear, that there are, you know, there are some premium theaters coming out too.
That's
where you pay a couple extra bucks and it's better service and you get to reserve seats and things like that.
Yep.
Which they've had in Europe forever and seems like a really smart idea.
Wait, Europeans have it? Then we can't have it here.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Sorry.
Damn French idea, don't it?
If the French have done it first, we can't.
Sorry, Z.
Yeah, well, I mean, the I think it was the British started the tradition of showing like 15 minutes of ads before movies. Then now we've got like about 5 or 10 minutes worth of ads before movies. But.
Church in the chat room says, yes, ushers are needed. They'll do it if they think you're camcording.
Well, that's fair.
I think this is a man that speaks from experience.
Yeah. So here's a maker idea. You gotta get just like Maker sells the kits for the machines that turn off TVs and everything. They ought to sell a little kit so that you can mock up what looks like a camcorder.
A
how do you get the person you want kicked out to hold it?
Yeah, there's the trick.
It's the 70s cop movie trick. You just plant it on him. Yeah. Oh, hey,
what are you doing?
He's got a movie camera. Get him.
Just pass it to him with some sweet tarts. They'll never expect the sweet tarts.
Nobody ever expects the sweet tart Inquisition. No.
Is that like sweet tea?
Is that sweet?
Is that like sweet tea?
Oh.
What, sweet tart?
Sorry.
Actually, other than having sugar
you're
in it,
you're reaching for that one, brother.
Something didn't go. Sorry. All right. Making my mark to edit the bad joke out of the podcast.
Once you start doing that, though, Ken.
I know.
What's going to be left?
Yeah, it'll be about 3 minutes, 29 seconds.
2 minutes of introduction and a minute of see you later.
Right. Good night. Bye-bye. Stay geeky.
See, you and I are going to start a fund to send Ken to Southern Diction School.
I think so. I think his drawl is just unearthly.
It's more of a twang than a drawl.
Californians have a twang?
Sorry,
no.
The only accent I ever trained for was a Cockney, so.
You trained
which is like the whole other side of the spectrum.
But, don't.
Yeah.
We will mock you endlessly if you do.
I am not. It has been far too long, so no.
Well, he's sung on podcasts, so.
What's that?
It Ken sang for us once on podcasts.
That is true. That's true, and I rue that day. But
So I'm done with my rant.
All right, rant's done. All right. Good rant. So, Dan. Yeah.
I had an experience today that maybe all of you have had something similar. It's the question is, how can you tell if someone's a fellow geek? And you, there's sometimes a level of, you know, how do they rate in the geek world? You know, are they, you know, super coders or something like that? Well, it's pretty easy when they're wearing a T-shirt with LEDs, or, you know, they're carrying a Will Wheaton book or a Neal Stephenson book under their arm. Fairly easy to tell. We had that rental inspection I talked about earlier today, and as we're finishing up the inspection, and to be honest, we were really nervous. We've got to pass this thing. It just cost us all kinds of money. And then his phone rang, and it was the Cantina theme from Star Wars.
Keep singing.
I breathed a sigh of relief because I knew. I knew that, hey, it was all going to work out fine. The guy's going to be fair. It's going to be, you know, there's no corruption involved. It's just, he's a geek. He'll deal with us fairly.
There are no cruel geeks.
Okay. I don't know that I go all that far.
I've got a theory, and it's a narrow theory. Don't burst it now. You know,
cruel ones probably don't have the Cantina theme. They probably have the Imperial March.
That's true. They'd have the Emperor's March. Or, yeah, okay.
And so, you know, on the easy theme, well, the medium theme would be the geeky ringtone. If you didn't recognize the ringtone they're using from, you know, your favorite sci-fi episode or movie, sure, it's a little more difficult. It gets a little tougher when you start to identify, you know, do they have a MacBook under their arm, or are they sitting at the coffee shop with a MacBook? Are they, you know, working with the iPhone? Are they geeky or just trying to be cool?
Yeah, they just
so
hipsters.
I'll open it up
or,
now for discussion, you know.
Say pretentious hipsters comes to mind there.
There you go. That there it is. We're done.
Well, that, okay, you know what? Know how you can tell the pretentious hipster? There's probably going to be like a Moleskine, you know, little notebook sitting there too.
So we're defining out the name.
And a really
Stop.
Expensive
you've
haircut.
You've already pegged me on 3 of 3.
Oh, no. How about a really really expensive haircut?
No.
No.
Shave my hair.
Okay. Nope. There you go.
Right. And I get the feeling that most hipsters were like emos or goths in high school. Is that a fair interpretation or not? Do you think there's a stereotype to be generated there?
Dude, I stay so far away from hipsters, I couldn't give you a barometer there.
And I think, you know, catch-all indie kid sort of fits in there, too. You know, any sort of indie kid, I think, is your potential hipster post-high school.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, from our chat room, Church H. Tucker is asking, the geek test is just ask, what was that episode of Star Trek with the big bugle-looking thing that ate planets?
There you go.
Yeah,
go to the arcane.
But you have to But you have to suspect somebody of being a geek first before you actually question like that, because otherwise you out yourself as the hugest geek ever. You know. So.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Oh, and
but what,
and,
if, but
and
what if the person you're talking to isn't a geek?
Right, Church, Doomsday Machine. Okay.
I think there can be a really clear dividing line. D20 or D12 tattoo, geek. Zune tattoo, freak.
Anybody have a Zune tattoo?
Yes, you didn't see that guy.
We're going to drag Zune guy through the mud again. Hasn't he suffered enough?
No, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let him go look it up.
There's probably only the one, man.
I think if you can define the concept of a saving throw, then you're pretty much pegged to the geek.
No, it's Thaco. Thaco is Thaco, the true dividing line. How to calculate it if you're wearing padded leather with braces.
See, now you're getting us.
Holding a small shield.
Now you're,
I'm going to need a piece of paper.
And have a 17 dexterity. No.
Yeah, see? You know, now I have to play
the subcategories.
Yeah.
I haven't played D&D for so long, I couldn't do that.
All right, so we're basically saying we have no idea.
No.
But on the other hand, I have the canteen music as my ringtone.
But we know it when we see it, right?
Yeah. I've got Doctor Who theme on my phone right now.
I have Andy.
All good.
Vibrate.
At all times?
At all times, because I don't ever want to have to quick grab into my pocket and pull out my phone and silence it. So
I'm gonna make a call out right now, just because there are now 16 people in the chat room. Although obviously I think Russ, you're in there, and I'm counting into that. But Owen Church asks, do we know what banded armor is?
That's a pretty clear geek test, I think.
That's a good one. Or the difference between leather and boiled leather. But any of the other people in the chat room right now, always feel free to throw something into the chat screen, and we are more than likely to comment on it. If it's a question, we'll pass it around or throw it out there for people to talk about. So we want to encourage the live aspects of the podcast as much as possible. All right, guys. If we're off of the geek identification tests, why don't we head into a little roundtable? So, Juan says it's actually very simple. What is your all-time favorite TV show? But you might put them on their guard if you ask that. So.
But that is a pretty good litmus test.
That's true.
Because if they say something like, you know, Survivor or. You know, the news, the nightly news.
Yeah, or, yeah. Dancing with the Stars, I was going to.
Dancing with the Stars, there you go.
Oh, this is scary. My kids, since they've been down at my in-laws, are now telling us that we have to watch this show called Wipeout. And it sounds like another Americanization of some sort of tortuous Japanese game show where normal everyday people go through these horrible obstacle courses to try and win money. And there are things like jump onto a turntable that is spinning at about, you know, 60 RPMs from a dead stand and try not to get flung off into a vat of mud or something like that.
Forgive me, is that centripetal or centrifugal? I always get those confused.
Centripetal.
You're a geek.
Because centrifugal is a phantom force, felt as the reaction to it.
Yeah. Proof positive.
that just means some of us took AP physics.
Well, I mean, if you're on a geek
some
dad
of us
podcast,
just survived physics.
So basically, this is another show where people humiliate themselves for money.
Exactly.
Okay.
And precisely
15
so.
15 minutes.
And they're 15.
Because we don't have enough of those.
Right.
Not at all.
Sitcoms.
Another sign of the moral decay of our society, which, if you read enough historical literature, has been going on since the society was founded. So you'd think we would have hit bottom by now.
Well, they keep moving the bottom.
True.
It's getting deeper. Yeah.
It's just getting deeper all the time.
Is this the old "you can't dig your way out of a hole" adage?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, just make a digger. All right, so Brian, post of the week.
Post of the week. Oh, I was seriously impressed. And again, you know, nothing sophisticated here, just the styrobot. I just love the idea of, well, first of all, I mean, putting, you know, junk together into something creative like that. It's like the guy up the street who welded a bunch of scrap metal into a dinosaur and parked it at his front yard. A Tyrannosaurus Rex with a steering wheel on the back, no less.
Oh,
there we go.
Get pictures.
But okay, I can do that. But the Styrobot is super cool. But to me, you know, there's another aspect that I don't think a lot of people consider, which is he saved styrofoam packing bits for 5 years to do this. There's a level of geek dedication there that I'm just not sure I rise to.
Well, I mean, on one hand, first of all, remember, this is Kevin Kelly. He's actually one of the founders of Wired.
Yes, I understand.
But yeah, what room did that all get shoved into?
And why did his wife let him do it? Because if I tried that, get rid of it. By year two, get rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, it's so universal, because haven't we all looked at packing material and go, okay, this could be something cool?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And
there's a certain appeal to it.
And also, of course, the line to use is well, I'm, you know, once I've got enough, I'll take it down to the recycling center.
My favorite line is, I'm going to blog on it.
You know, that's come up in so many dinner conversations. Is this going to show up on Geek Dad?
You just need one of those t-shirts. I'm blogging this.
Yeah. I mean, my kids ask me, you know, someone goes, you're not going to write about this, are you?
Also, does it mark me out as a huge geek that I can tell that there are two MacBook packing containers involved in that?
Absolutely, yes.
Actually, I think for you, Brian, you have a special certain higher level of geeky, you know, ability there, since you actually, because of your job. Because you actually support all those computers, you probably see far more of that packing material than many of us do.
Yeah, actually.
That's true.
How many new MacBooks came for the school this year?
For the school itself, counting fac staff and labs, probably about 25. But there were 130, 140 iMacs too.
Wow.
So, big shift.
See, if you just ask them if you can keep the styrofoam, you've got your...
Dude, I would be totally set. I wouldn't even have to wait 5 years. I'd be done in 2 weeks.
You've got an army of styrobots with that kind of stuff.
All right, I'll tell you what. I will pack it up, parcel it up, and I'll just ship you a container of packing foam.
That'd be pretty cheap.
What's in the
packing foam? What's in the packing foam? No, nothing. It's just packing foam.
Right. It'd be light.
And if every geek dad takes one styrobot... We can build an army.
We're going to smack up a pyramid scheme, Brian.
Soon I will have my army of styrofoam.
There were two things on this post that struck me. One is the phrase, I replaced it with nichrome wire I had on hand.
Oh, no.
Well, this is Kevin Kelly we're talking
about. Once again.
Right. It wasn't unusual, but it was just like, man, I wish I had some nichrome wire on hand.
I pulled out the garage plasma cutter and went to work. What?
Yeah. That's starting to sound like Dan's garage.
Acetylene and styrofoam do not mix. I just have to say that.
He's tried. He knows.
The other piece I liked was just that final picture on the post. The robot is humanized as it looks out the window wistfully at the world outside. It's just looking out that window going, gosh, I love that.
Is there someone for me somewhere in the world? Yeah. Well, between Juan and Church in the chat room, they're asking about, you know, how old it was and joking around. And now we're all wondering, will it fly? So... You know, the styrobot probably only weighs a couple of pounds, right?
You think he said 20 pounds?
Did you say 20?
You know, will it fly? You know, you would expect that from perhaps a robot, but will it blend?
Yeah.
That is the question.
Right.
But I love the idea of strapping on a couple of rockets.
I think we just need to do a mashup with Chris Anderson.
There
and
we go.
Get his blimp out there. Have the blimp carry the styro butt.
Styro blimp bot.
I mean,
you realize
you
it transforms
the UAV with a. We take the UAV with one of Boeing's lasers that are mounted on airplanes now and take out the styro bot. That's what we do.
Mm.
Death from above.
I think Starobot needs to become the new Geek Dad mascot.
Exactly.
We need to make a little like he needs to become our favicon.
Oh, there you go.
That's actually pretty sweet.
Can Shapeways make us little miniature ones?
Ooh.
If you can render it 3D, they can. Yeah.
And they got a 3D scanner big enough for that?
Yeah.
Kevin probably does.
Yeah.
In the garage next to the wire.
That's what some of the packing.
If not, he can make one over the weekend.
I think he should make one that transforms into a giant packing carton.
That would be
just meta Styrobot.
Oh, man. All right.
Transformers used to ship other Transformers.
Right.
No, he transforms into one of those crates that you see around in your video games all the time.
He's
what are they? They're Styrobots. Walk here.
Cargatron, yes. All right. Thank you, Brian. That was an excellent post for the week this guy. Matt, how about you? You got a post for us?
Well, I wanted to plug a post that hasn't appeared at the time of recording, but... should have appeared by the time the podcast is posted. About my visit to the Jim Henson exhibit at the Smithsonian over the weekend with my kids. It's just absolutely amazing. It's called Jim Henson's Fantastic World. It's actually a traveling exhibition.
Ooh.
So it's going to be going to different places around the country, including Pennsylvania, Seattle, Massachusetts, Fresno, over the next couple of years.
Oh, it's coming to Fresno?
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. Okay.
but not for like 2 years, I think.
Oh, okay. I've got time to save up.
Yeah, exactly. But it's got all kinds of stuff that you just have never seen before. It's got drawings, production notes, storyboards, and such that he drew by hand. From some like the earliest commercials that he did when he was just in college, when he was doing commercials just in the Washington area, and just some really cool stuff. And they have some actual Muppets, of course, like they have Ernie and Bert and Kermit and Rolf.
But, Dr. Teeth.
They did not have Dr. Teeth. But
how did I know that Dr. Teeth would be Brian's favorite Muppet?
Dr. Teeth is the man.
Dr. Teeth is very cool, but no, they did not have him. But they had some really, it's just really cool drawings. You could see like the evolution of some of the characters through the design process. Like they had one sheet where you could see like the initial concept for Animal, and then how it kind of grew into the Animal that we all know. And I mean, they had stuff on the Dark Crystal and Labyrinth, and some of his other post Muppet Show era stuff. And they had a really cool resource room where the kids could like put on their own puppet show, and even had a video camera pointed at it. And it was just an absolute—I mean, I had an absolute blast. I really want to go back so I can read some more of the production notes and such that I didn't get a chance to because I had to wrangle the kids. But it was just absolutely awesome. So if you can get to this exhibit, if it's anywhere near you, I strongly recommend it.
And if you can't, I'm just looking at the Smithsonian site. They've got a nice little selection, just a short one, but they have a selection of images from the show, which is kind of nice.
Well, actually, there's a whole website about it. About it. And there's even a podcast. But when my post goes up, you'll see the links to it.
I'm looking forward to that. It must be on the same circuit because in a couple of weeks, if you remember back a little ways, somebody posted for us about the. The Walking with the Dinosaurs traveling show.
Yeah.
And that one's coming to Fresno in a couple of weeks, and so we'll be going down to the in-laws and taking the kids to that. So it must be like that same route of traveling cool shows, but that sounds totally awesome.
Oh, it was. for anybody who likes the Muppets, and you know, any sensible person does.
Who doesn't?
You
know, yes.
Yeah. It's really you gotta go see it if you can.
And somebody's running Muppets again on TV, I think.
Oh yeah, well Disney Channel, Disney bought them.
That's
Muppets.
Right, Disney bought them, and they're starting to run them again.
They did a one-shot thing called Studio DC Almost Live, where they're like interspersing Muppets with Disney Channel stars like the Jonas Brothers and Zach and Cody, Sweet Life of Zach and Cody and stuff.
Right.
And my kids love it. I really could barely stand it, honestly. But
what our parents said when we watched the Muppet Show.
But they are doing a whole bunch of new stuff with the Muppets. They're doing another one of those. They're going to do a Christmas special for next, not this coming Christmas, but Christmas 2009. And they're working on a new movie, which is not apparently going to be an adaptation of, you know, some famous book, fortunately. But they're actually getting Jason Segel to write it of, you know, the Judd Apatow crew. So
so it's going to be a Muppet stoner comedy?
Probably not. But no, he grew up with them.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, but not overtly. Okay.
Like us, I suspect he grew up with the Muppets, so I think he wants to preserve their memory, and so I don't think he's going to do anything stupid with them.
Good.
For fans of the show, you can also get the first three seasons on DVD, including a bunch of takes and
they are awesome. Well, actually, the first season's not so great because they had to cut most of the musical numbers because they couldn't get the rights.
Yeah.
But the second and third season are truly awesome.
Was it most of them, or did they only? I was thinking quite they only cut one.
Quite a few. There's like one episode where the whole episode is like 10 minutes long, because they had to cut like 2/3 of it. It's like, oh, it's over already.
That's
great.
So wrong. That's
fortunately
wrong.
For the second and third seasons, they delayed getting them out until they could secure all the musical rights.
Good.
Which I was very happy about.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt. Let's move on to Mr. Olson. What did you want to talk about this week?
The I'm scrolling down here. The Ultimate Treehouse by Patrick Orndorff.
Oh, that's another new one. That was good.
Yeah, the picture's just great of this thing. It's Sammy's lookout, or I think the picture says. I don't know. I can't really exactly read the picture there, but 4 meters above the ground, 58-year-old silver maple, just a fancy, neat place for his kids. One 7, one 16 months old. Yeah, they're settled, and that's their place. And that's pretty cool. He's got alarm systems and all sorts of stuff in there. So my nephews built a little tree fort up at our cabin up north, and doesn't even compare to this in like scale. But the fun my kids had just in that little one. I mean, these two kids are in for just a lot of fun over the next 15 years or whatever. So
that's it makes me feel terribly inadequate that you know got one of those bought at the lumberyard play sets, and then we are talking about turning our little shed in the side into the boys' sort of they're calling it the man pad. And we're gonna put get them a little like a 20-inch flat screen, hang it on the wall, give them the like one or two of the older game machines that we've got here, and get a sofa bed from IKEA. And make it the place where their buddy can come over and they just all sit out there and play video games, and we'll get them a little mini fridge and everything. And it'll be their pad out on the side.
Check it relatively often.
Yeah. Yes. 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 No perishables. Only
monitor
sodas.
Cameras.
Yeah. Smoke alarm.
Prepare them for dorm life. Yeah.
Yeah. Smoke alarm too. Yes. Prepare them for dorm life. Oh man.
We had a couple years ago, several years ago. My wife and I built a small house for a small playhouse that we could disassemble and bring to the basement and reassemble. And the kids played with it for, I'm thinking, a month and a half, and then it was nothing. It just became the junk collection area. And we ended up chopping it to bits and putting it out for the garbage. So I hope that this one lasts a little bit longer than that.
Of course, the best is always large appliance boxes.
Yes, and they're, you know, they come free when you buy new appliances. So
yeah, rather than paying all that money and the conversion rate for those cardboard, recycled cardboard castle things that we posted about like a year ago.
Yeah, from Sweden or wherever it was.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Dan. How about you, Mr. Russ?
I want to talk about Mr. Olson's post from about 5 days ago called Geek Dad Budget Cuts, Can a Geek Family Cut Back? And, he talks about, you know, as he's going back to school, they're reassessing the family budget given, you know, increase in food prices, increase in gas, increase in all the stuff that's going on. Not only is he going back to school, but I forget the ages of your kids, Dan, but I'm guessing at least one of them is going back to school. And
six,
so that's,
six and eight, yeah. So.
Okay, yeah. So you got a couple going back to school. So that's school supplies and new clothes and new shoes and backpacks and all that kind of stuff. And so this is, even for myself, you know, this is a month where we really got to watch our budget. And, you know, to go through this, it's funny because, you know, my wife and I have tossed these things around. Do we just cut cable and go with the rabbit ears and up our Netflix to, you know, 4 DVDs a month? Because, you know, that would be a whole lot cheaper than, you know, what we pay for internet and phone and cable through the cable provider. And yeah, we've got cell phones all over the place and things like that. And so it was just interesting to watch. I think more interesting, just some of the ideas that came up through, again, once again, the people on that regularly read our blog and take the time to comment. People suggesting that you go to the library and get the DVDs from the library or the tapes from the library. And, you know, that would be another way to supplement Netflix and reduce the ridiculous cost that it is for cable. I think most telling is that if you call and say you're canceling, a lot of these guys, just because of where the economy's at, are willing to take a 20%, you know, discount or take $10 off your monthly charge just to keep your business, because business is business. And even if they're making $2 a margin versus $12 a margin, it's $2 a margin.
Right.
And so it's just a neat post, and it's not only what the businesses do, but the creativity of our readers was really what attracted me to this post.
That's good, you know, and I would love to maybe get into the habit of thanking some of our readers when we bring up the post too, and I don't know if there's anyone you remember specifically from the comments on that one.
Well, I'm looking at it right now, and I see a Juan who put in a comment on August 22nd, and I'm guessing it's the same Juan that's sitting right now in our chat room for Ustream. So,
let's give a shout out then.
There we go. So Juan, very good, and yeah, he's got a comment out there. He says Netflix with Watch Movies, great alternative to cable. So clearly he's the commenter there. But yeah, we've got a great group of faithful readers and commenters that
I know there's a fellow named Ramon who has been a regular commenter and always very kind and well thought out comments too, so I'll check that one out there. But I was gonna say, you know, your commentary also sort of brings up, you know, there is a shift going on and people realizing that they can get away from things like, you know, being stuck to having like two phone bills, because you have cell phones nowadays and you have regular phones. But and I still feel like I'm a little bit behind the curve on this, and maybe some of you guys do too, that, you know, these stats that are coming out as we move into the elections, where they're realizing that something like 2/3 of the under 29 demographics are cell phone only households.
Mm-hmm.
People are just saying to heck with it, with having a landline. You don't need it if you've got the cell phone and you've got decent coverage in your area. And, you know, as an old fogey now, I still go, well, you know, if there's some sort of an emergency and the cell phone towers go out and I don't have power, but I can still drag out the old princess phone and hook it up and get power through the phone line and make a call But I don't know if that's is that enough for spending an extra $20 or $30 a month on the line.
Well, even right now, we've got we just moved a month and a half ago, and our phone now comes through cable. So if the power goes out, we do not have landline. And you know, you see the ads on TV of AT&T scaring you, saying, if the power goes out, you'll have no way to call 911. And I looked at my wife. It's like, yeah, we've got three different cell phones in the house. And
As the cell towers don't go out,
that's
too.
Right. As long as the cell towers don't go out as well. But the church is coming.
Not sold.
Yep.
Not sold here. We keep the landline. 911's a lot faster with a landline.
Yeah, church is out there in the Ustream chat going, hey, we're 40 plus and we're cell only. So, I think it's definitely shifting. So, and Juan is saying that family share plan with rollover, you just can't beat that. So with a landline. So yeah, it really is an interesting switch. You know, do you do high speed internet only? Do rabbit ears? Do cell phone? And supplement with Netflix and library, or borrowing from friends, or you know, doing the instant downloads, things like that. And you could really keep the majority of your technology for a whole lot less money right now.
It's almost interesting to look at where we don't have competition within specific markets. Like, you know, you don't usually have much choice in your local landline carrier. You might have a little bit of choice in your long distance, and you know, maybe you've got one cable provider in your area, and there might be one or two satellite providers in your area. But if you take a step back and look at what the technology is allowing in a broader sense, you can still, you know, make a go of it and find less expensive choices out there. You can get your entertainment. You're not getting your cable TV or whatever, but
right.
You know, if you've got your Netflix and you're picking up, you know, you pick up a season of a TV series every month, and you can watch it all the way through if you, you know, spend a couple of nights each week watching an episode. You know, how is that any different from having the cable or satellite line into a DVR in your bedroom? You know.
Yeah, and with the on-demand stuff that the cable companies are putting out now. You know, or, you know, let's take that one step further. I want to buy five channels because realistically, my kids watch Disney, my wife watches HGTV, I watch, you know, a couple channels, and give me that for $15 a month.
Yeah.
And
that'll never happen.
I know it will never happen.
Everybody's always wanted a la carte cable or TV.
And I know it will never happen, but the technology clearly is there for that kind of pick and choose.
But that's not a technology issue. That's a cost issue.
Absolutely.
Because those channels are supported by the way they do the tier pricing. And if you break it out per channel and start getting priced that way, there's no way they can do it at $15 a month.
Right, right.
Right. Absolutely. No, I know. But that would be, you know, as you talk to more and more people, that's the way more and more people are starting to think. It's like, just let me choose the 5 or 10 channels that I really only watch. Don't give me 100 because I don't watch 90 of them.
Yep.
Yeah, but then channels like C-SPAN would cease to exist.
Exactly.
All right, good discussion. Hey Z, I don't suppose you thought of a post to do.
I actually did. This is one that I know we've talked to death, and the rest of the world has as well. But it's Michael Harrison's "Would You Let Your 9-Year-Old Give a Tattoo?" And the way I want to go with this is that for those four of you who are listening that haven't caught on to this, Stephen Hibbs of Suffer City Tattoos in Dallas let his 9-year-old daughter Lily give him a tattoo. And this isn't a you know, regular guy off the street getting a tattoo from his child. This is a tattoo artist whom, you know, who are their own guinea pigs more often than not. But the thing was, is he posted this to YouTube, and you know, the net has been ablaze as a result. But for me, this is just a very extreme example of sort of the age-old geek question: what's the one thing that you're really passionate about that you want your children to be passionate about? Because he says himself that, you know, she watches us do this every day. She wants to be a part of it. So, you know, for example, for me, I'm, you know, a longtime comic book guy, and I hope at least one of my geeklings would like to get into that, because that's something we can do. We can go to shows and cons and the comic shop. So just if everybody just wants to kind of throw in, what's the one thing you'd like your kids to be into that's something that sort of means something like that to you, some sort of hobby or pastime?
And there was silence.
Well, that's a question, though.
Not everybody at once now.
Computers.
No, I thoroughly agree with you. I don't understand all the objections to this. I mean, I think it's great that he's letting her do it and teaching her.
Well, I mean, in a way, it's almost like any other form of art. It's the only sort of mildly cringe-inducing concept there is that what she is doing. I mean, he's letting her do something permanent to him.
It's not almost like any other form of art. It is like any other form of art.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to hedge, but the point being is that, you know, the factor that seems so I would think would give anyone pause would be that it's actually like a form of body modification on somebody else, but it's his choice to accept that, and you know, it's an awesome sort of learning thing and bonding thing and all of that stuff.
Well,
and so
her skill level when she gets to be, if she, you know, continues to think of her skill level when she gets to be 28, 29 years old and has been tattooing for, you know, two decades already.
The Tiger Woods of tattoo.
Yeah, if you could get you know, she could be doing the pretty straightforward stuff that that most parlors would get, you know, at a very young age.
Chinese characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, the Chinese characters that actually mean things that nobody understands, and the
stupid white person who buys tattoos they don't understand.
Right.
That never.
Oh, look, that's Mandarin for gringo. Okay.
Mandarin for white man running in circles.
All right. Well, excellent, Z, as always. Thank you very much. And I was going to sort of close things off. I'm going to use as a launching board the sort of two posts that were connected out of the last couple weeks, which were the review of Mummy 3, and then that led into my list of the 10 geeky movies that should have been great but weren't. And it's not so much important for me to talk about the content of those two posts, but sort of what happened in light of those two posts, which has been something sort of phenomenal on Geek Dad. The Mummy 3 review sort of struck a chord when it came out on that weekend, and there were, you know, it went big on Dig, and it had a lot of comments pro and con, and that was fine. And obviously it's sort of encouraged that I think we're going to try and do a lot more movie reviews on weekends when movies come out, and try and give, you know, our readership a good feel for especially the geeky movies that are obviously out there to appeal to us, and, you know, try and give everyone a heads up for, one, whether they live up to the geeky promise, and two, whether they're going to be good to take your kids to and you know, be a good conduit for you know, raising our kids geek. Beyond that, the 10 geeky movies post that really struck a chord somewhere and got a tremendous amount of Dig action, huge amount of commentaries, and then sort of the capper on that was it went big on Yahoo, the Yahoo Buzz, and you know, it's funny because I always listen to Leah Laporte's podcast, and he's sort of dropped this comment a couple of times when it come up, and he said, you know what, Dig is nice, but as much as, you know, or people don't really sort of notice that since Yahoo has started Yahoo Buzz, it's really the biggest social news site in the world. And he said, and you know, I'd never really paid attention to it until we actually hit it big on Yahoo Buzz. And what had been a post that got, you know, a really nice, I mean, it was a record 50 or 60,000 hits for us on the day that it first went up, all of a sudden got another 450,000 just because of going on the front page of Yahoo. And what that has done for Geek Dad, the last 2 weeks on Geek Dad, just sort of as a result of that and of the notice that Geek Dad has gotten because of that attention, and I think a lot of other things gelling, and everybody, all of our writers, you guys included, and all the other guys, have been putting out consistently great content over the last, I think, you know, last 4 or 5 months, even, you know, not that anything before wasn't, but I think we've finally found a groove and have sort of adapted to the audience is finding us. And the last couple of weeks on Geek Dad have been just a magnification. We so far in this month, we are triple our biggest month ever before. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a little bit surrealistic. But it also is probably going to open a lot of other possibilities for what we're going to have the chance to talk about, and hopefully for how many people are going to be listening to what we talk about. And so the if there's any point to what I'm saying here, it's that, one, I have got to thank, you know, you guys, Brian and Z and Russ and Dan and Matt. You guys are part of the core contributors, and of course, the rest of our core contributors. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to go down and say the names: John Bastel, Dave Banks, Kathy Cesari, Paul Govan, Mike Harrison, Vince Janowski, Brad Moon, Anton Olson, Patrick Orndorff, Jake Russell, Don Shump. Geek Dad is actually becoming big. And it's because of this group of really wonderful guys. These, you know, we're Geek Dads, and we all sort of probably got into this on a lark, you know, might have been reading it early on and saw the call go out for writers and gave it a chance.
Yep.
And got lucky, and it probably all still feel just incredibly lucky for what's happened. And in the last, you know, couple of months, we sort of stepped up the structure of what we were doing, made a real drive towards putting out consistent weekly content, found some themes, found some, you know, regular types of posts to put out, have been paying attention to what, you know, to what's popular and what our readers like, and have been feeding that, and it's working. And I, you know, from my point of view, working as, you know, trying to run this thing, you know, I like to joke, sort of like Indiana Jones, or Han Solo, or I don't, you know, he said it in both movies. I've been making this up as I go along, but something has clicked, and it blows me away, and I want to thank all of you guys, and let's just sort of hold on and ride this, because it's fantastic. And I want to thank our readership, and maybe we're getting some new people. You know, there are 17 people in the chat room right now. All the weekends that we've been doing, or the weeks that we've been doing this, there's usually only a handful. So I think we're getting a few more people than usual. So welcome. Hopefully that means we're going to get a few more people on the podcast. So welcome to you. Thanks so much. I always want to encourage people, give us feedback, comments, you know, in the posts that go up that announce the podcast, comments to wired.geekdad@gmail.com, that kind of thing. Talk to us. We'll talk to you. You know, we are just a bunch of guys and one gal, and we're dads, and we're going through all this the same way, and we're having fun with this, and it's awesome to see what's going on with it. And there, okay, I've said my piece.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. Without the readers, we'd be yapping at ourselves every other Tuesday night and things like that. And you know, so yeah, absolutely, it's the readers.
I think a lot of this also is due to Ken's skill as an editor, too. I think he's done a great job, so
certainly.
Thank you.
Absolutely, agreed.
I appreciate it, guys. As I said, making it up as I go along, but things are clicking, so I'm going to, you know, I'll keep shooting from the hip as long as it works. All right, with all that out of the way, I think we need to wrangle this one into the pen and call it good. So I will go down the list quickly. If you guys have anything you want to plug real quick for the following 2 weeks, we'll get that out there. Brian, you got anything coming up?
No plugs whatsoever, sir.
All right. Thank you. Matt, you got something?
Well, I already plugged one. I'm going to also do some more Muppet-related content as the week goes on.
Muppets are always great. Sort of like Legos and Muppets. You can't beat them.
That's true.
Now we need a crossover. Okay. Dan Olson, you got
not
anything
as long as
coming
just,
up?
Yeah, Muppets.
Dan, you got anything?
I'm just basking in the peace and quiet of not having to go to my rental house and work anymore.
Oh, fantastic.
But I'll have a post later this week.
All right, cool. Russ, how about you?
Yeah, I am going to, you know, we started off August, which was Bad Dad Month, talking, I don't remember who it was. Was it Patrick? Was it Matt? Who said, I took the Net Nanny off my computer. That was one of our first Bad Dad posts. And I'm actually preparing a quick review of Safe Eyes, which is kind of a Net Nanny, you know, internet filter blocking service. And so I got an eval copy and I've been running it through its paces on my own family, and we'll have a review before the end of the month on that.
Awesome. Very good. Z, you got anything?
I got a little piece on some preschool music that doesn't suck from the Imagination Movers, which is a band out of New Orleans that recently got picked up for a Disney Channel series. Should be dropping in a couple of days.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I know, of course, we'll probably have some stuff to talk about next week in Hip Tracks, too. I know PAX is coming up, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So I know you'd be paying attention to that. I can't think of anything right now. As always, as I said, give us, you know, drop us a line at wired.geekdad@gmail.com. And look next week for the Hip Tracks podcast. And otherwise, I'm just going to say thanks. Thanks to Mr. Brian Little. Thanks to Matt Blum, Dan Olson, Russ Neumeier, the mystical, magical Z, and I have been and ever shall be Ken Denmead, editor of geekdad.com. Wishing you good night and happy geeking. All right. See ya. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.